It's fine. Yeah, okay. We're going to have fun today, and we're going to start by having fun today. Today is somebody's birthday. It's Belle's birthday. So we're going to sing happy birthday to Belle, our membership director. When you work for a church and it's your birthday on Sunday, we sing. That's what we do. And I invite you to rise in body or spirit. We're going to sing together, Deck the Hall. I invite you to turn to those around you and say good morning. We're going to sing together A Promise Through the Ages Rings, the first three verses. Please be seated. Just the first three. The fourth verse is an Easter one, so we'll have to wait till March. It's great note. You light the chalice. Kimberly's going to light our chalice this morning. The flaming chalice is a symbol of our faith, a beacon of truth, and a fire for justice, a warmth for the soul. As the chalice is lit, let us speak together the covenant of our church. Love is the spirit of this church, and reason is its guide. To dwell together in peace, to seek truth and freedom, and to serve human need. This is our covenant. Now we'll sing together our response song. We started this last week, and I said we would keep doing it. So it says, peace be upon you. It's our affirmation of our desire to live in a world of peace, a place where each person is free to practice their religion without fear. A friend of mine this week, as a kid who's in fourth grade, a kid came home and said one of his classmates, a Muslim, is worried that if certain things happen in an election, he'll have to pack up and leave. That's not the kind of country we want to live in. And so we're going to say, peace be upon you. And we'll say it in Arabic, Assalamu alaikum. I invite you to say it together. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you. May peace be in our world. We gather for worship this morning to celebrate these holidays, to bring light and joy into our life. We know, of course, that light and joy aren't always easy to find. Sometimes we come to this season and it's a little hard. Maybe some of us are grieving a loss this year for the first time, and that first holiday is always the hardest. Sometimes the holiday cheer just doesn't quite get in. That's okay. Nonetheless, we try to open our hearts as best we can. Miracles and majesty are all around us, not just in December's coldest hour, but any time that we can see and hear. Throughout the world, there are places of majesty and beauty, right here in our own lives, the faces of one another. So I invite you to settle in for worship, to come with an open mind and spirit of adventure and laughter this morning, as we come to worship together. As we begin, we hold too in our hearts those in our community who are having joys and celebrations or experiencing sorrow and loss. Named and unnamed, I invite you to hold one another in your hearts and your prayers this morning. A memorial service will be held here tomorrow at the church at 11 for Harold Ray, the husband of Brenda Ray, a member of this congregation who died earlier this week at the age of 71. I ask you to hold Brenda and their 7 children and 11 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren in your thoughts and prayers. We gather this morning for worship, to wonder and to imagine, to hold in love and hope, to laugh and to sing, to open our hearts and our minds. We worship together. So there are all these holidays at this time of year. So many holidays, we can't always even keep track of all of these different holidays. And I understand, Kimberly, that last week in religious education, the children learned about one of these holidays. What did they learn about?
It was fantastic. They learned about solstice, and they learned about Yule, and the generosity of the White Grove pagan group here at our church. They came in and they taught their kids about Yule and Yule logs and candles and what solstice was about, and they loved it.
Fabulous. I wonder if everybody here knows about what solstice and Yule is all about.
Well, I see April right here in the front row, who's part of that group, and I think she's willing to talk to us about it today.
Well, good. Let's learn something. April, come on up.
It's difficult to explain to you the story of Yule, as there is not a unified one. Yule stems from the winter solstice pagan celebrations and customs, most of which predates Christ. Pagan, in my terms, refers to non-Christian belief systems. This includes the Celts, Romans, Greek, as well as the Norse. Each area has their own specific celebrations, such as the Romans had Saturnalia and the Norse had Yule. No matter where Yule comes from or how it's celebrated, it occurs on the winter solstice. In this area, it occurs on December 21st and marks the shortest day and the longest night. We celebrate that beyond this day, each passing day will bring us more light and shorter nights until midsummer. We also celebrate our survival of the cold winter months. A reoccurring theme around the winter holidays is the number 12. The Yule log was one that is supposed to last for 12 days and nights, so it's pretty sizable, or was. This log was meant to be your sustaining hearth for those days. Today, some still celebrate using the Yule log. However, it has changed from a giant log to a smaller one with 12 representative candles for each day and night. During this time, gifts are not necessarily given, but it's a time of celebration and feasting with friends and family. As for my personal celebrations, I have several, but we'll talk about the Yule log, the tree, and broom decorating. To start off, I gather a log or piece of wood to use as our Yule log. The one that I used this year dropped from our pine tree in the backyard earlier this year, and I used 12 candles to represent the 12 days of burning, since the log that I'm using would not last near that long. We do put up a tree and we bless it as a symbol for all trees. We then decorate the tree with items that are important and symbolic to each person. Added to the trees are messages and wishes that each person has for the coming year. As the days go on, more messages may be added. And at the end of the 12 days, which for us, those 12 days starting on solstice would be New Year's Day, we then take the wishes and the messages as well as part of the Yule log outdoors and burn them in a cauldron. This releases our intentions and desires up to the gods with hope that they will be heard in the new year. Finally, a tradition of mine is to decorate my broom. I do this to incorporate some seasonal items and into a well-used tool that I have year-round. I add in fresh evergreen, holly, pine trimmings, as well as ribbons in the colors of the season. Red represents the holly and winter berries, green for the winter greens that stay lush all and green all season long, white for the winter snow and skies, and gold for the sun, which we'll be seeing more of beyond the solstice. At the end of the season, I will burn the decorations and decorate my broom for the new coming season.
Thank you, April. I really appreciate that. And solstice is, of course, such an old holiday, and one of our many Unitarian composers, Samuel Longfellow, wrote this winter carol for the solstice many years ago that the choir will now sing.
Thank you.
Now, there's some other holiday at this time of year.
Coming up this week.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not our Christmas Eve service, but...
It's about to be Christmas.
It's about to be Christmas.
Well, that's a big holiday, right? And there's some ancient story about this.
Yes, perhaps you could remind us of this old ancient story.
We can do that. I think I might need help, though.
I think I might see some helpers out there, little and big.
Yeah, we're going to need some help. And I understand maybe we've got some things that some of the helpers could use to help kind of make the story work.
Yeah,
today.
It's okay. No fun without props, so you we have some props.
We've got some props. Okay, well, let me tell you the story, because this is one of those stories, and it's an old story, most of us know, but we can try to remember how this story goes. So, well, first there's a Mary and a Joseph, and they're traveling to Bethlehem because there's a census, a count of all the people. So, we have anybody want to be Mary? Anybody want to be Joseph? We need some volunteers. It's okay, come on. We'll get some people. You don't have to be a kid to be one of the parts. We could use other people too. It's whoever is interested. We'll figure that out. Maybe if the kids want to come up over here next to Kimberly and you can decide what part you want to do when it's time. If you want to, come on. So Joseph, the story goes, was descended from King David. Oh, I have a picture for this. We'll get to this. Descended from King David, who was from Bethlehem. So off they went to Bethlehem. And Mary was very pregnant. So we've got a Joseph and a Mary. There we go. Sandy's going to be Mary, and Oliver's going to be Joseph. So they arrived. They arrived in Bethlehem. Why don't you come on up if you like to? And they went to the guest house, but it was all filled up. There were so many people in town for the census, and so there was no room. So the innkeeper said, "It's okay. You don't have to stay in the cold. There's room in the manger, the room in the house where the animals slept at night." They'd bring in the animals to one of the rooms in the house. It was sort of sunken a little bit into the earth. But it was nice and warm in there. The innkeeper said, "It'll be warm from all the heat. It'll be fine." And they were grateful for a place to stay. Now, overhead, there was a great big star. Bright big star. So we need a... There's a star. Star. There we go. Somebody want to hold the star? Gayan's going to hold the star. Great. And some folks think that there was a supernova in the sky at the time, or maybe Venus was bright that night, or whatever it was. Who knows? The story is that there was a great big star in the sky, and Gayan's going to be our star. Feel free to switch hands so you don't get tired as we do this. So Joseph and Mary settled into the manger, and the animals were all around. And we have some animals. I see we've got some masks here for some animals. And here they are. There. We've got some animals ready. We have more of these, as need be. So all the animals are around. And then Mary gives birth to the baby, Jesus. There's baby Jesus right there. And now over in the fields nearby, we'll say like, over here, maybe, we'll need some volunteers. There were shepherds with their sheep. And we've got a couple of shepherd's crooks for some folks. And so Ryan's going to be a shepherd, and Peggy, I think, is going to be a shepherd. Great. We're keeping watch in the fields over the sheep. So, and these shepherds, they had no idea what was about to happen. They're just taking care. And then some angels appeared in the sky, and I see we've got some little angels back here. Yeah, here they come. Yep, we got some angels, and the angels came up here. Come on up. And the angels said, "Glory, glory, hallelujah, the child of God is born." And the shepherd said, "Where?" And the angel said, "Right over there in the manger." So the shepherds, they went and they looked. And sure enough, there was a baby in the manger. And the shepherds told Mary and Joseph what the angels said, and everyone was amazed. Mary pondered all these things in her heart. That's what she does. But that's not all. Because that star up in the sky, some wise astrologers had seen it and decided to follow it and see where it was going, where it would lead to. And so they believed that they would find a king in a palace. So here are our wise people. But they didn't find a king in a palace. They found a little baby in a manger. Surprise. And when they arrived, after this long journey, they knelt down and they offered gifts. gold and frankincense and myrrh. And see, they're holding it. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. And that's the story of Christmas, right there. It's a legend of long ago. And it surely didn't happen exactly like this, but pretty close, maybe. Doesn't really matter what really happened. What does matter is that we look for hope and love in the least likely places, that we welcome peace and joy into our hearts, that this little boy would go on to be the prophet of radical love, a radical love that would challenge empire and transform hearts. Miracles happen in the most unexpected places, in the little town of Bethlehem, where they all traveled that winter night. Thank you all for being volunteers and stepping up at the last minute. We're going to sing together, so I invite you to rise in body or spirit for A Little Town of Bethlehem.
When I get to light the Hanukkah candles? I missed it last week.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. So Kimberly's going to light the Hanukkah candles because last week was Hanukkah. We celebrated Hanukkah here. I did my best with the invocation at the early service, which wasn't very good. But the second service, thankfully, Jesse did a much better job. We'll light the candles. And Dave Black is going to tell us a little bit about Hanukkah for those who don't know.
Well, in a nutshell, Hanukkah is a Jewish holiday commemorating the rededication of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem after a successful revolt led by the Jewish Maccabees against the Syrian Greeks who had conquered Israel, or what is now Israel. Hanukkah is observed for 8 nights and days, starting on the 25th of Kislev, according to the Hebrew calendar, which may occur on our calendar any time between late November and late December. For reasons that will become clear, it is also known as the Festival of Lights. So why 8 days? The rededication of the temple included the relighting of its eternal flame. Legend has it that there was only enough oil to burn for 1 day, but it lasted for 8 days until more oil could be obtained. The festival is observed by kindling the lights in the 9-branched menorah, 1 additional light on each night of the holiday, progressing to 8 on the final night. Typically, the menorah, as ours here does, and the one up above, has 8 branches with an additional visually distinct branch. So why are there 9 candles? The extra light, which is used to light the others, is called the shamas. It is given a distinct location, usually above or below the rest. In short, two candles are lit on the first night, increasing by one until nine on the final night. This is done at sundown on the night before each day. So if you see Hanukkah on the calendar, it actually begins the night before, and there will be no candles lit on the final day of Hanukkah. Other Hanukkah festivities include playing the dreidel, which is the eight-sided top that you see behind me, and eating oil-based foods such as latkes, potato pancakes, that you also see behind me. The dreidel is essentially a gambling game. It's a top with four sides with the Hebrew letters Nun, Gimel, He, and Shin, abbreviations for a great miracle happened there. You spin this top, and if you get none, you take nothing from the pot. Gimel, you take all. He, you take half. And Shin, you put into the pot. With respect to latkes, when I was growing up, my father always hand-grated the potatoes for the potato pancakes, never using a food processor, and this is a tradition I have carried on. I've always wondered why latkes that became a Hanukkah dish, and the best explanation is that they are fried in oil. Giving gifts is likely a way for Jewish children not to feel left out at Christmas time. In my home, we either got eight small gifts, one on a daily basis, or one larger one. Hanukkah is not considered a deeply religious holiday. The most positive spin is found in the contemporary song that we sang last week, Light One Candle. No one can deny that bringing light during the darkest time of year is not a good thing. Something new that I saw this year about the holiday that I particularly liked was this. The Shamus is the candle that brings light to the other candles. Let us all try to be the Shamus.
So the choir is up here because really we're a choir of the whole today. You need to participate in this song, Ocho Candelicas. It's a traditional Hanukkah song that is in the Ladino dialect of Spanish. So it might sound familiar to you when you hear it, but the thing that you have to help us do is count the candles up to eight. So if you can count in Spanish, you'll be good for most of it. But let's practice. So one is una, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, five is cinco, six is se, y siete. So you're good for all of them except five or six. So the choir is going to sing the first part of the song. You can listen to them, and then in the middle, I'll encourage you when we go back and sing the refrain, you need to count with us. And if you want to sing the other parts, that's great too, but what we really want to hear is una, dos, tres, as we count the candles, all right?
Thank you.
So last week, I was back in my hometown of Madison, Wisconsin, and we went down to the Capitol to see the big holiday tree and the train that goes around it, because I have a three-year-old who loves trains. And on the second floor, they have a representation of different faith traditions in December, just like we're talking about today. And they have this pole for Festivus.
What? Is it made out of aluminum?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
And it says Festivus on that little sheet down there. Festivus for the rest of us. The airing of grievances will be on December 21st. So you can go tomorrow if you want. 23rd. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. And I was hoping you could enlighten us about Festivus.
I can tell you all about Festivus. The Festivus poll, the 23rd of December, Wednesday, is Festivus. Is this a real holiday or not? Well, all holidays are kind of made up, right? I mean, they're all made up at some point, and some of them stick and some of them don't stick. But at some point, somebody created the idea, and then it started to spread. This one was made up by TV writers in our lifetime, so it feels a little less real than some of the others. But there's something about it that kind of works in a very strange way. Something about it that makes sense. The simplicity, for one, in our very crazy, overdone kind of world, the decoration is an aluminum pole. That's it. That's it. And sometimes that kind of simplicity is what we long for, isn't it? It's a very honest holiday, a part of the Festivus tradition. So on the 23rd, you have a dinner, family and friends, and at that time you air grievances, the airing of grievances. You gather around the table and you describe the way that all the people have disappointed you in the last year. Holiday cheer. Who did that? I mean, but there's an honesty about it, an honesty that sometimes is missing in our holiday season, where we have to be smiley happy all the time, right? But we have grievances. We have resentments. We have things we need to get off our chest. Things that we need to say, but we feel like we can't. What if we had a holiday where we could say those things? What if we said, I resent that you did such and such, to clear the air? You know, just to clear the air, to be honest, and not to be cruel, you know? This is part of the Festivus tradition, is the airing of grievances. So, you want to do this? We're going to do it silently in our heads. Yeah, sure. Otherwise, it's just going to get too loud. So silently in your head, just think of one grievance that you would like to, you can say it out loud. I mean, silently in your head, out loud, to yourself. Name it in your mind. Go ahead, I'll give you just a minute. Well, do you feel liberated by that? Maybe a little bit. It can go either way, right? We can let it go, or it can become drawing attention to something we've already really kind of let go of. Goes either way. Now, the other part of the Festivus, they're really only, it's a very simple holiday. There's the aluminum pole, there's the airing of grievances, there's the meal, and then there's the feat of strength, which is to say that we wrestle. Festivus isn't over until the host is pinned by somebody in the wrestling match. Like Jacob at the Jabbok wrestling with God or something like that, it has some unintentional spiritual consequences. We're going to skip the wrestling part today. Yeah, I know. We're just skipping all the good stuff. But what I want to say about this very silly holiday is that holidays can be old or they can be new, but either way, they're all invented somehow or another. And the ones that stick somehow speak something that we need to hear. So there's something here to pay attention to. Something about being silly, something about being simple, something about being honest. So in the midst of our laughter about this holiday, which is what it is designed to do, is provoke our laughter, there's also something there. So if you want to celebrate Festivus on Wednesday, go right ahead. I invite you to do so. I'm sure you can get your Festivus pole at your local hardware store. They'd be happy to sell one for you today. I'm so glad that everyone is here today. A couple of announcements before our offering. Our Christmas Eve service is Christmas Eve, Thursday night at 5 o'clock. Song, candles, story. Please come if you are free and able in town. Bring your family and friends. We always have a wonderful time. 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. In a moment, we'll take up an offering to support the work of justice and mercy in the world. We're collecting this week for Carpenter's Place in the spirit of there being no room at the inn, of finding a place in our heart. We're giving our support to those who help those who are without homes and need a place to stay and get back on their feet. So I hope you can be generous this morning. The offering will now be given and received.
So as we finish up the week, on December 26th, Kwanzaa starts. And I didn't know a lot about Kwanzaa, so we have a story for you today about Kwanzaa. It was the first day of Kwanzaa, and Kayla was sad. Her big brother Kari could not come home for the holidays because a heavy snowstorm had closed all the roads around his house and school. Kayla had missed Kari while he was away, but this was worse than ever. Now they would have to start Kwanzaa without him. Kwanzaa was Kayla's favorite time of year. She loved celebrating her African heritage and doing special things with just her family. But how could she enjoy Kwanzaa this year if her brother Kari was not a part of it? Kari tried to cheer up. After dressing in colorful African clothing, she began to set up the Kwanzaa table. First, she put on the mukeku, a traditional straw mat. On top of the meka, she placed the kenara. You'll have to excuse the frog in my throat today. A Kwanzaa candle holder. The kenara holds 7 candles, one for each night of Kwanzaa. A black candle in the middle, 3 red candles on the left, and 3 green candles on the right. The colors stand for different things. Black for the African American people, red for their struggles, and green for hope and a bright future. Each night of Kwanzaa, the family lights and celebrates one of the 7 Kwanzaa principles. Sound familiar? Which are ideas that help people to be strong, principles to help guide them through Kwanzaa, but are practiced all year long. There is a different principle for each day of Kwanzaa. Every year, Kayla and Kari would share the Kwanzaa greeting. Hubari gani? Kari would say. The greeting is Swahili. It means, what is happening today? Kali would answer with the Kwanzaa principle for the day. Many Swahili words are used for the Kwanzaa holiday. Kali sighed. It just wouldn't be the same without her brother Kari tonight. Kali's parents helped her place fruits and vegetables on the mika. The fruits and vegetables are called mazuo. They represent the harvest and the importance of working together. "Here's the corn," said Kayla. "Do you remember the Swahili word?" her mother asked. "Muhindi," Kali answered. "Muhindi, it represents the children in our family." And she put two ears of corn next to the other Kwanzaa symbols, one for her and one for her brother Kari. When the table was ready, Kayla's mother helped her light the black candle. Since Kari was not there, Kali's father greeted her. "Habari gani?" he said. Kali answered with the first principle of Kwanzaa. "Umojo," she said. "Umojo means unity." Kali's father poured a few drops of water from the kukombi, or unity cup, to remember and to honor their ancestors. At Kwanzaa, everyone drinks from the unity cup to celebrate family and community and unity. Kayla and her family practiced unity all year long by spending time together as a family. She especially loved movie night. The next day, Kali's father lit the black candle and the first red candle, and he said, "Kuji cha guli umu," which is the second principle of Kwanzaa. It means self-determination, or deciding what to be and what to do. Kali decided that she wanted to go to college, just like Kari, to become a scientist. On the third night, the phone rang, just as Kayla was lighting the first green candle. It was Kari. "Habari gani?" said Kara. "Ujimu," Kari answered. Ujimu is the third principle of Kwanzaa, and it means working together and being responsible. One way Kali and her family practiced ujimi during the year was by participating in her school's bake sale. The teachers and the parents and all the students worked together to raise money for the community. The black candle, one green candle, two red candles were lit on the fourth night. Kayla was really happy tonight. The roads were cleared and Kari was on his way home. The fourth principle, economics, or supporting African-American businesses, Kali and her parents shopped in Tubman Square, where the African-Americans made handmade jewelry and hats and clothes. The phone rang. Kayla ran to answer it. "Hi, Kari, are you almost home?" she said. Kari explained that his car had broke down on the way there, and it would take a few days to fix. Kari would miss everything. "Don't cry, sweetie," Kari said. "I'll see you soon, I promise." On the fifth night, Kali's mother lit the candles. Today, the principles were ni'u, or purpose. Kali decided that her purpose would be to be the best sister she could be. And she made Kari a special Kwanzaa scrapbook, telling him all about how the family had celebrated this year. Kumba, or creativity, for the sixth day of Kwanzaa. After the last red candle was lit, Kala and her parents made lots of decorations for the Karumu that night. The Karumu is a feast where the family celebrates with friends and loved ones. Kayla made a flag using Kwanzaa colors. It was black and red and green, just like the candles in the Kimara. Soon there was a knock at the door, and Kayla ran to answer it. "Kari," she yelled, but it was not Kari. It was Grandma and Grandpa. She was glad to see her grandparents, but she couldn't help being a little disappointed that Kari had still not arrived. She kept hoping that somehow he would get home for Kwanzaa. There were many knocks on the door and friends and family from all around. It was hard to be sad with so many people. Everyone was joining Karuma. There was so much food, and they had to have a separate table just for the desserts. No one heard Kari at the front door, so he just walked right in. Kayla squealed with delight when she saw him. "You made it," she said. "I took a taxi and then took a bus," he answered, "just to see you." Kayla hugged Kari as tight as she could. Imani, Kari whispered on the last night of Kwanzaa. Tonight, all the candles glowed brightly. Imani means faith, believing in yourself and believing in others. "I believe in our family," she said, as they opened their zawandi, or gifts. Kayla knew that zawandi should be handmade or educational, and she gave everyone a photo of the family in a frame that she had made from old newspapers. Everyone loved the zawandi, especially Kari. The end.
So what is there to say about all this together? This